A look at the news near your neighborhood. The Fairfield University Graduate and Professional Studies around the region. Now on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
A father in Texas rescued his teen daughter by tracking her cell phone after she was allegedly kidnapped by a man. This happened on Christmas Day, and according to the sheriff's office in Texas, the teen was out walking her dog. When she did not come home at her usual time, her parents used parental controls on her phone in order to locate her. Her father reportedly traveled to a secluded, partially wooded area nearly 2 miles away from their home and found his daughter and her dog inside a maroon pickup truck with a partially nude man. Of course, the man now in police custody and the young girl expected to be okay. But what can we take away from this story? Joining us back on the show, our law enforcement expert, Gary McNamara, is here. And Gary, what a wild story, huh?
Yeah, and you summed it up pretty well, Melissa. It's a parent's worst nightmare to be in that situation. You know, we always kind of talk about preventing it, but when you actually see it happening, you feel for the father the instant his daughter didn't come home and tracking and finding her in that situation. Worst nightmare.
I mean, it's interesting, though, Gary, because when you hear about parental controls on a phone, it's usually because you want to, you know, keep the kids from being on the phone too much, for example, too much screen time. But in this situation, I mean, talk about fast action, because, I mean, you could kind of speak more to this from your cop background. But I don't know how quickly usually people who are trying to commit a crime like this, you know, whether that's to hold somebody for, you know, for money or for whatever trafficking, whatever that the reason was or would have been. I would think they disable the phone pretty quickly so that they can't find her. Right. I mean, this was pretty fast acting, I would think, on the dad's part.
Yeah, it is. Well, you have to remember, you always look towards the activity and what occurred for the person who committed the crime. So yes, if you are going to plan out a kidnapping and you're going to get someone and you want them for trafficking, you're going to plan a lot of things out. So you're going to plan for taking away their technology. We all know it exists. So they know it exists. So they may have a plan in place to do that. Based on the way this appears to have occurred, it looks like it might have been a random kidnapping, meaning that she just happened to be walking her dog at the same time that this individual is driving by. So all he's thinking about is taking her and obviously taking her to a secluded area, not necessarily planning out all the other activity around preventing him from being captured.
But again, I would think most people, I would think, would kind of go into just total panic mode. I'm going to call the police, which you should always call the police, obviously. But you start to just sort of spiral. And it feels like the first thing this dad did, because the fact is he found her 2 miles away. So to me, again, I'm not trying to, you know, assume, but it seems like he acted pretty quickly in saying, well, wait a minute. She's got to have her phone on her. Let me track the phone. And honestly, some people don't even know how to use that technology. So I feel like that also speaks to the importance of having that conversation with your kids if they've got a phone or they've got, you know, you and I have talked about how I have trackers kind of implanted in certain things that Chase wears to school. Or some parents will put air tags on their kids' backpacks, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's important, I think, to have that conversation with your kid and the importance of understanding what trackers are used for. But also, I would think kind of utilizing that technology frequently. For example, as I mentioned, I'll check the trackers on my son on a daily basis, even though I know he's sleeping at home right now. But I've already checked to see where his clothing has tracked him, essentially.
Yeah, but remember, the father at the moment his daughter doesn't come home doesn't know that this is a kidnapping. So what he did is what all parents do, or most parents do. Hey, she's not home yet. Where is she? Did she take a longer walk? He goes and then instantly opens it because he's done it before, to your point, and he tracks it to where she is. The key lesson in that is understanding that the technology exists, practicing using it, and then ultimately finding what technology works best for the age of the child that you have, really, and then using it and then understanding the power of it, because it is powerful. Obviously, in this case, this father, by opening up that app, prevented his daughter from being sexually assaulted.
Right.
Based upon the information we had, hands down.
Well, and the other thing, and I'd love to get your take on this. Again, we've got Gary McNamara here, who's one of our law enforcement experts on the show, and this pretty unbelievable story out of Texas where a father rescued his daughter because he simply tracked her cell phone and she was allegedly kidnapped while out walking her dog. So pretty innocent stuff. But this can certainly happen. You know, what do you think about, we've heard obviously about air tags before and how sometimes those can be controversial because people can actually commit crimes by tracking you, by dropping an air tag in your gas tank or by leaving an air tag in a woman's bag so that they can track where you've been. And so there's sort of a little bit of controversy around tracking, because if you're not either aware of being tracked or that you're using this technology, somebody could use it to their advantage. So what are sort of your thoughts on, I mean, the cell phone's one thing, but what do you think outside of cell phone, you know, find a friend or whatever that app is on most phones out there today? What are your thoughts on like air tags or air tags, I should say, in tracking, you know, your kids, especially if they don't have a phone?
Well, there's pros and cons to all of them. I mean, obviously, the phone is one option that generally families do just to find out if you're going to be late or where you are. And I haven't heard from you, so you can just go on easily and find out where they're at. In a parental situation, if you have an elderly parent that may wander, those can come in handy. But there are also some apps that you can pay for. So Life 360 is one that a lot of people look at. The air tags that you said, the problem with the air tags is you can know that you're being tracked. So let's say that this girl had an air tag on her as opposed to her phone. If this suspect had a phone, it may, in fact, it will, in all likelihood, let him know that there's an air tag now that's following him as well. So there are some pros and cons to it. I think the best situation would be, and this is the lesson that we all should take from it, is if I had to find my child, in this case, the 15-year-old, how would I do it? And then find some time to go online and see the different options and what's going to work best for you and your family, so that at least you know the pros and cons of each one, because there are options to exist. It doesn't happen often, but boy, if it does happen, you certainly want to find a way to track the person.
Well, and to your point earlier, Gary, the importance of also, you know, not just constantly practicing with that technology, but having those conversations with your kids. I mean, again, this was a 15-year-old who was out walking her dog. And we don't know, you know, what the situation is around it. So to get away from this example specifically, because I would never want anyone to think I'm victim blaming here. But the importance of, you know, some of the things you and I have talked about in the past, which is if you've got kids who are walking alone, you know, the importance of staying alert, not having two headphones in if you're listening to music, you know, not being stuck on your screen and kind of aware of your surroundings, right? I mean, those conversations also should be happening constantly.
Yeah, and there should be no reason why a vehicle should stop next to you. I mean, that's the simple thing to do. There's no reason to engage. If a vehicle stops next to you, keep walking or even run. I mean, these are things that obviously we've talked about. There's the human side to it and the preparation side to it, and then there's the technology side to it, and both really work hand in hand. But if there was ever a time to have a discussion with your kids, or at least have a discussion with others to say what we would do in these situations, it's using this as a good example of it. A 15-year-old girl out for a walk with her dog Christmas morning, you would think nothing of it. And then you have an individual who confronts her, and you can't blame the 15-year-old. Somebody pops out allegedly with a knife and she's afraid and she gets into the car, even though she has a dog. But it's a good time to have those conversations and say, listen, this is what you do to prevent it from happening. And then this is what I'm going to do as a parent to arm myself with all the technology I can to either find you myself or at least provide that information to law enforcement so that they can find you quickly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and to your point, Gary, it's not normal for a kid to go out and walk their dog and to be approached by somebody, you know. So again, I don't think that this person did absolutely anything wrong. I mean, she absolutely a victim in this situation. It is scary. But I think even like you said, practicing, and that doesn't obviously put, I would hope, I don't think it puts fear in kids if they feel more empowered. Like, hey, if you are approached right then and there, you know, maybe that is a conversation for, hey, you never can go walk the dog, you know, where there's no homes nearby or where it's well lit, or if you get approached, like having plans, right? I mean, even coming up with plans for if you are approached, how to handle that properly.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, we it's not about scaring kids. It's about empowering them, giving them permission. Because if you don't have the conversation, like we said before, if you don't empower them with conversations on what to do, they're not going to know what to do. So you say in this situation, don't talk to anybody. I don't want you to do this. There's not a reason for somebody to stop. And if you ever feel afraid, walk faster, do this, call me. There's a lot of things that we can do to empower our kids as opposed, if we don't have the conversation, we put them in a position where they will sometimes not know what to do and be more afraid.
They're ill prepared.
Have a conversation. Yeah, exactly.
That's yeah, right. Both power. Parties. It's. I don't know. Sometimes it's interesting, Gary, because we have these conversations, and I think, oh well, this is a lot scarier than a fire drill at school, but it's really not. You know, like it's interesting because our society has gotten very comfortable with lockdown drills to some degree and with fire drills in schools. But you're exposing as young as kindergarten, even preschoolers, to do a fire drill and now lockdown drills. And they may not realize maybe the severity of why you're doing these drills, but they are very much, I would think, exposed and even empowered. And I know I'll have this conversation with my 7-year-old. I'll say, you know, I heard you had a drill today. I saw there was an email from your principal. How was it? Mom, I'm fine. I know how to get out of this. You know, like it's I think it's more alarming to the parents than it is a lot of the times to the kids when you have these conversations or you have these drills or you talk about what, you know, what if and how do we handle it?
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, we are sometimes reluctant to use fear as a powerful tool to protect ourselves and our kids. I'm not saying that you scare them to traumatize them, but there's a reason that we have the emotion of fear. And we oftentimes as parents are afraid to use that. And so instill healthy fear in someone will instill safety. If you are afraid of something or concerned of something, you're going to practice safety around it. And that's really what we want to do. We want to give them healthy fear, not traumatize them. So they're afraid to walk. We just want to empower them to use that fear to their advantage. If something yeah. doesn't feel right, do something. And if in this case, the parents have the ability to do it. Ask yourself a question right now. If your son or daughter were missing and you didn't know where they were, it could be innocent. How would you find them? And then find some technology that can help enhance that ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, we just gave people an assignment, especially if kids off from school. And if you have any time off from work or you want to have those conversations or you want to do some of that research, like Gary said, might be a really good idea. Gary, always appreciate you. Thank you so much for weighing in on this case in Texas. Pretty crazy stuff.
You got it, Melissa.
All right. We'll talk soon. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Melissa in the Morning.